that in the next two shows. Mary Lou Nemecek and myself, this is Lavinia Espiritu. We will be concluding this wonderful book that we have brought to your all's attention called Lord, Renew Your Wonders, Spiritual Gifts for Today by Damien Stain. Damien Stain. It's put out by the Word Among Us Press. You can get it at your local Catholic bookstore, Benedictus in Lexington, or on any internet provider.
And Stain is spelled S-T-A-Y-N-E.
Yeah.
So it's easy to find.
Fabulous book. And you know what? He gives all kinds of tips on practical tips on here are the gifts of the Spirit. Here is why you should want them. Here is how to grow in them, which I always love the practical aspects. And what I had not realized is one of our good friends, Mary Ellen, had actually been to a charism school put on by Damien Stain when he came to Franciscan University of Steubenville. So she gave us the experience of splitting, pairing off with another person and praying over one another and seeking the Lord in prophecy for complete strangers and that kind of thing. And I thought that was kind of cool. To hear one of our number who had been up there to experience one of the few that he has done here in this country. So that was way cool, and I was quite jealous. But I think one of the main things that we need to keep in mind is that, yes, it's all well and good to read about these books and to read about people's experiences. Obviously, Damien Stain has a ministry that the Lord has equipped him for and has given him venues for. He goes all over the world. He has healing crusades and he has prophecy workshops. And he's got, you know, it's obviously not a world that we inhabit. But the point that he's making is this is what God has called him to do. But perhaps the difference between him and us is that he actually has stepped out in faith when he heard God inviting him. I seriously doubt that the original call was, Damien, I'm going to send you to stadiums full of people. I doubt it. It was probably more like, Damien, speak to this person today and tell him this and that. You know, so he had to step out in faith and expect in faith in smaller ways before he could do the big thing. So I think there's a way a lot of Catholics reading these incredible stories would say, well, that's him. You know, that's not me.
But that's why he says in the title of his book, Spiritual Gifts for Today. So it's things that he wants us to be aware of, wants us as laity to be open to. And, you know, I hope that as people have listened to these different shows that they've been encouraged to do that. You know, we all want to do more. We all want to grow in our faith and in holiness. And what better way to do that than to be open to allow the Lord to use us? And that's basically what this book is telling us.
That's right. And also what I like is it kind of expands our horizons. Sometimes you don't know to ask for things if you don't know that they're possible.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
everybody needs to go back and read Acts. You know, that's the foundation for a lot of this. And I think Acts is so encouraging to everybody and how the faith was started and grew. And you know, they were not fearful to be fools for the Lord, as we say. That's, you know, we all have a role to play in the plan of salvation.
Amen.
And this is just a means for us to discover, you know, how the
that's
Lord
right.
can use us.
Right. So read Acts with a view of how does this apply to me? Because sometimes we read Acts like, oh, that was cool. That was then. But no, it's now too. And that's
right.
How we build up the church. I mean, you know,
right.
We are kind of circling back to us, to an environment pretty similar to what the apostles and the disciples experienced in the world of Acts. We've kind of gone full circle back to a pagan, apostate, atheistic, agnostic, at least, society, which is materialistic, which is, you know, very sort of self-centered. And it took the spiritual gifts and the blowout of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost to overcome those obstacles. And I think that nothing less is indicated in our world today. What do you think?
I think I agree with everything you're saying. And if nothing else, this is a book of hope. Acts is a book of hope. It's showing us the way. And that's what the early church was called. It was called the way in the very beginning. So let's latch on to that. Let's follow some of those guidelines. Let's be open to how we can use the spiritual gifts which God has given to each one of us and exercise all those wonderful things that we were equipped with at baptism and confirmation.
Yeah, that's a very important point. These are gifts that we already have. We just have to find out what they are and activate them. I think a slogan that I got out of his book is seek and activate.
Yes.
Seek and activate. Seek what the gifts are. See what the Lord wants you to do. And then activate them. How do you activate them? Through devotion and preparation, as Thomas says. Mm-hmm. Devotion means you love the Lord so much that you want whatever he wants to give you, even if it freaks you out a little bit.
That's
and
right.
Preparation is you know what they are. You know what the gifts are. You know what they do. And you read books like this in which your faith is built up and perhaps a desire or a hope emerges in your heart to do the same things. It's just that simple. We have been through several of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There was a lot that we spoke about and that he treats in his book quite extensively on the gifts of prophecy, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles. We talked about deliverance from evil spirits. Last show, we talked about inner healing, which I thought was very important for us today in our society with so many walking wounded. And now he continues with a wrap-up of the rest of the gifts. And, of course, the list that he's using is the list of gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 that Paul uses, the first list. And so he's kind of working his way down. The next gift, of course, is discernment of spirits. It's essentially the gift to recognize when something is of God, is just merely human, or is demonic. The word discernment has a sense of sifting or sorting between one thing or another, as in sifting wheat from chaff. If I remember correctly, the Greek word is diakriseis, which means judge. To judge for yourself, to have an opinion, to form an opinion for yourself. And it's been a gift that has been highly prized throughout the ages as a sign of spiritual maturity. Gives examples in the Gospels. John the Baptist knew the Pharisees and the Sadducees were not sincere and called them a brood of vipers. Jesus as well, even to telling Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not on the side of God, but of men. Whenever we allow the spirit of the world or our old human understanding to weigh down what the Spirit of God is proposing, then at that point you need discernment, right? There's examples in the book of Acts. St. Peter, remember that was, I think, Acts 5, when the Spirit, when basically, remember, Ananias and Sapphira, they come up to the apostles, they give everything, but they hold back some stuff. But they want to get credit for having given everything, even though they have held some stuff back, where nobody was asking him to give any donation at all. It was their idea, it was their contribution, but they wanted to seem like they were more important. They wanted to have people praise them. And the Holy Spirit reveals to Peter the deception, and Peter says, what the heck, Ananias and Sapphira. And unfortunately, so does the Holy Spirit, to the point where they are stricken dead.
Dead.
Mm-hmm. For lying to Peter and to the church. So you can use this gift of discrimination or discernment or judging or weighing of spirits in the gifts of prophecy, of course. You know, we talked about the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is inspired speech. But it also says in 1 Corinthians 14:29 that others should weigh what is said when a prophet is speaking. You know, it's diakrisis. Well, there's the word, the same word used for discernment. The same basic discipline helps in our discernment of prophecy, such as the knowledge of the Bible and Orthodox doctrine. You're never going to hear a prophecy that talks about a fourth person of the Trinity without knowing that that's not right, right?
Exactly.
That is, in fact, I don't even think you need a gift of discernment to know that, but you basically, the point is you need to know the gospel, you need to know the scriptures, you need to know the faith so that you can correct things if they arise. You need a discernment of spirits and spirituality. It gives the example of Saint Anthony of the Desert. Somebody asked him, which is the greatest of all virtues? And he said, the power of discrimination, scrutinizing all the thoughts and actions of a man, distinguishes and sets aside everything that is base and not pleasing to God, and keeps him free from delusion. I think that's pretty cool. And he quotes St. Cassian as well. And then, of course, let's skip 1,000 years up to St. Ignatius. In Ignatian spirituality, the gift of discernment of spirits is the gift to know what spirit is the source of movements within the soul, what is prompting thoughts, desires, emotions, imaginings, inclinations, locutions, consolations, etc. Basically, the gift of discernment. There's actually a great book by Father Timothy Gallagher called The Discernment of Spirits, and it's just on this topic of St. Ignatius's understanding of what's going on with us. And it's also very, very important to be able to understand where things are coming from. Where are thoughts coming from? Where are ideas coming from? Where are proposals coming from? It's also very important, of course, to have discernment of spirits in ministry. And most of the time, what he's referring to is prayer ministry. When you're coming alongside somebody, when you're praying with them, perhaps you're giving them words of advice or words of encouragement, you need to know that it should be more than a minimal approach. A lot of us, basically, we want to pray with people and we want to love them, but we don't want to hurt them. But that's about it. You know, we have kind of low expectations, but those familiar with the possibility of allowing the spirit to lead them in their daily actions are generally more attentive to his intervention, which would make sense. We need to learn to be sensitive to the promptings that are genuinely of the Holy Spirit. And that's obviously a tremendous asset when we're praying with people, when we're trying to listen for words of knowledge, words of prophecy, when we're formulating long-term plans, short-term plans, goals for ministry, etc. So he speaks about that. He speaks about prayer ministry. And then also he talks about discerning mysteries. You know, some things are just mysteries. And sometimes it's just hard to even begin to understand. He quotes somebody, "When things besides being superior to our human knowledge are not naturally conceivable, those are mysteries. Only the man who among the gifts mentioned by the apostle has received the charism of discernment of spirits is able to know these things in the way they should be known." So what does that mean? A deeper understanding, perhaps, of dogmas of the church, of teachings of the church, of the Trinity, of the incarnation, of the resurrection, of the Immaculate Conception, and so on and so forth. So it's important to have an idea of what this is. Then, you know, so he's applying the gift of the discernment of spirits in unexpected places. So it's important, for instance, to notice swiftly if one who at first sight looks good is in fact an evildoer. And so the one who has the charism of discernment assuredly understands when something evil is concealed, even in those who have a good reputation among the righteous. How many teachers and preachers, Catholic and non-Catholic, have fallen from grace after a promising start because slowly but surely they didn't have accountability, that they gave in to all kinds of, you know, self-propaganda, right?
Right.
How many instances do we have of that?
Yeah, someone in particular comes to mind that we heard speak, and then not long after that, you know, through a variety of things that were uncovered, you know, that person wasn't really living the life that he should have been. And it didn't change the truth that he gave when we heard him speak. Let me put it that way. However, it's funny how these things are revealed during time, that if something's not right, somehow it's going to be uncovered in some way. And when you have that gift of discernment, your antenna's up more so to recognize or question things and not just oh gosh, what's the word I want? Just accept anything that's said or done. Let me put it that way.
Hook, line, and sinker, right?
Yeah. And everything we need to discern, right?
Yeah, we need to discern, which doesn't mean we need to be suspicious, but it does mean that we need to be critical in a good sense, not in a bad sense.
Not in a negative sense. Absolutely.
I think I like the example he gave that all new movements in the church have been misunderstood and even persecuted or maligned. Look at, you know, from the very beginning, even the early monastics or the Franciscans or the Dominicans or even the new movements in today's church, while the papacy's history is not perfect, as we know, popes are often the ones graced with the gift of discernment of spirits. How many times have we heard about Padre Pio being obstacled by his bishop who did not understand or maybe was envious or jealous, but actually being revendicated by the papacy straight from Rome. Like people could see it beyond it. How many times have we seen movements of the Holy Spirit, even grassroots lay renewal movements that were very misunderstood at the beginning, and the church or the local church structures tried to strangle it? Even just being members of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, I know many times when the local structures have tried to step in and kind of stifle things because they were afraid of things that they did not understand. And how many times have current pontiffs, beginning with John the 23rd, Paul the 6th, John Paul the 2nd, Benedict the 16th, and now Francis, have been open armed in welcoming the Catholic Charismatic Renewal as a current of grace for the whole church.
Mm-hmm.
For the whole church, not just for people who like to wave their hands, So anyway, that's very important. This history is not perfect, but popes are often the ones graced with the gift of discernments of spirit. And then we need to have, of course, new eyes in discerning ministries. The church needs to make real space for the development of personal ministries, not only those originating from ordained ministries, but from everyone. I think that's good, because there's a way that Catholics can be very clerical, right? Mm-hmm. I was just reading an article by Father Dwight Longenecker, just last night, about how people who relate to the clergy in a clerical way are doing them no favor. Like, there's two mistakes. One is Father can do no wrong. He's on a pedestal. Everything he says is gospel. And the other approach is you smile to his face, but then you talk bad about him behind his back.
His back, yeah.
You know? But really, the gift of the discernment of spirits helps us kind of come out from under that umbrella to come alongside Father, to support him, but also to strike out on our own, knowing that you don't need to be ordained to have a ministry in the church. We know that. The Decree on the Laity, one of the documents coming out of the Second Vatican Council, says very clearly that the role of the laity is to evangelize, to sanctify, to penetrate, and to perfect temporal order, and that the role of the clergy is to assist the laity in the mission of evangelization.
Well, we're to build each other up, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's something we should all be doing each and every day. We should do it as it relates to our priests and to the church, and we should do it with each other.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So it's important to not to extinguish the spirit, but to test all things and to hold fast what is good. And that is a quotation from Lumen Gentium, section 12, on the discernment of charisms, just the things that we're talking about today. Of course, we also need discernment and discipleship. And I thought this was particularly well put, because often when you have ministries that are training other people, that want to come in and train people, even ministries in a parish, for instance, I'm not just talking about parishes, organizations like ours, but let's say some ministry in the parish, there's a tendency to let people go into ministry without enough formation. So you can release people with weak foundations, so you can give them a ministry. For instance, you can make people extraordinary ministers of the Eucharist, or even lectors, who are living in sin.
That's right.
Right? You can just because you have a pulse doesn't necessarily qualify you for a ministry in the church. Where's the change of life? Where's the conversion? Where is the practical application of heroic virtue? So there's that. Unfortunately, in today's parishes, it's more like, oh, you have a pulse? Come on in. We'll put you in charge of this or that or the other, just because. Unfortunately, your average Catholic is not really wanting to invest in the church, other than perhaps begrudgingly sending a check occasionally. There's always the same. We always joke. There's always the same 120, 130 people doing everything, going to everything in a parish perhaps of 2,500 families.
Mm-hmm. That's
now,
very true.
That's, so you have, unfortunately, that thing about how you release people with a weak foundation, and that's bad. On the other hand, sometimes people can be made to go through so much formation before being entrusted with anything that they lose their fire and become discouraged. And so you're holding people back. So what's the solution? Don't release people too soon, but then don't hold them back and thereby stunt growth. We need to find people who we can offer encouragement, who we can mentor, who we can disciple, and we can mobilize. And oftentimes, it is younger versions of ourselves. I know, and I can see the voice of experience. He says, sometimes the people we find most difficult to accept, disciple, and mobilize are the younger versions of ourselves. And I can totally relate to that.
Yes, absolutely.
Especially as a younger person, I was a loudmouth, and I was disrespectful of authority, and I had to figure everything out for myself, you know. On the other hand, in discipleship, you have to make sure you have somebody behind you, coming up behind you, carrying up the rear. Somebody's going to take over. Somebody's going to help people grow in the right direction to bear greater fruit. I mean, that's part of it, too. And then, of course, you need discernment of spirits and deliverance ministry. Well, we talked about that at ease in the last two shows. Right. How do you grow in the gift of discernment of spirits? Well, of course, first of all, God has the grant to gift. It comes from Him. And you need to hone it through a life lived righteously, through a life of prayer. Under this guise, of course, it's a spiritual instinct that grows as a side effect of living deeply immersed in the things of God. Like all spiritual gifts, discernment of spirits is a gift that often begins in a small way, requiring us to be sensitive and very attentive. Well, we know that, right? God is not going to use us to prophesy in St. Peter's Basilica as we're first yielding to prophecy, but He will use us to talk to somebody in a one-on-one conversation or during a small prayer meeting, right? So begin small, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to end up where God wants you to use you for many, many people. So that's the discernment of spirit. The next gift is always very interesting to talk about, and that is the gift of tongues. We're going down the list, 1 Corinthians 14:18. Now, we know, of course, that the gift of tongues was central to Pentecost. We know that there's a couple of various incarnations of this gift. One is, of course, the gift of knowing languages, or either speaking them miraculously or having your audience. We thank you for joining us.